So if you would turn with me to your Bibles to John chapter 20, we're going to look at verses 19 through 31. We're going to pay attention to a couple verses in here specifically this morning as we look at the resurrection and we look at what it leads us to. Starting in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. For if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to them, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would guide and lead us as we look at your word this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to embrace the peace that you offer through what Christ did on the cross, and the ongoing peace that we can have in you through the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this morning, as we walk through this passage, identify just a few things to consider as we think about Easter. We're going to look at what biblical peace is. We're going to look at what causes the lack of peace in believers. And also, finally, how we should respond in light of the resurrection. And these verses I read to you is Jesus' first appearance to all of his frightened disciples after the resurrection, all except Thomas. I would guess at this point the disciples were probably pretty stressed out by the events of Jesus' final days, in need of something that would bring them peace. They might have been puzzled or excited about the rumors that were sweeping through. And so if you look at that first verse that I read, verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Notice Jesus' first words to his disciples, "Peace be with you." What an incredibly comforting greeting. If you remember what happened at the time of the Lord's arrest, his disciples scattered. Peter had betrayed him openly. They probably were expecting to be rebuked. But what does Jesus do? He greets them with peace. The word peace, shalom, is a standard greeting in this day in the Middle East and then. But in the Old Testament, the idea of peace had more of a physical meaning. The idea of security or prosperity, the absence of war. But the Old Testament prophets spoke about a lasting peace. You might remember Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. That verse continues by saying, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. A little later in that book, in Isaiah 53, verse 5, says this, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So you notice in the verses that I read, that phrase, peace be with you, is repeated three times. And that's very important. When you're going through, when you're doing Bible study and you're learning how to look at God's word, look for things that repeat because they tell a story. And right here, he says this three times, two times in this specific instance. And what I want to share with you this morning is the truth from God's word that believing in Jesus equals lasting peace. Kids, if you're taking notes for summer notes, you're going to see this statement a couple different times. Believing in Jesus equals lasting peace. And adults too, we need to be reminded of this. The New Testament talks about this peace in a slightly different way. It's this inner tranquility of a Christian whose trust is in God through Christ. If you remember back to the angels at Christ's birth in Luke 2:14, they said, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. These statements that we're making from God's word paint a picture for us that Jesus was the one that was going to come and bring peace. We don't initiate peace with Jesus by our actions. He initiates peace with us by what he did on the cross. Remember, before he was crucified in the upper room, he said lots of things from John 14 to 17. But he said this, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but as I give. This true lasting peace involves our position before God. Really, there's two main types of peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. And so we're going to first quickly look at the peace with God. Peace with God, it's unlike the world's peace. The world's peace is temporary, unsatisfying. Christ's peace is lasting and always satisfying. In the upper room, the night of the Lord's betrayal, just as we looked at from John 14:27, he promised to leave his peace with the disciples. The peace with God that Jesus offers the disciples is peace that he accomplished when he died on the cross. And that's why at Good Friday service, we looked at that phrase, it is finished, because it is accomplished. It's not Jesus dying over and over again on the cross. He finished and conquered death, defeated sin. And so that peace is so different than the world's peace. And I think it's important to understand that he backs that up in verse 20, where he says this, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. See, he showed them his hands and his side to show that this peace has been accomplished. Peace with God. I am the one, Jesus is saying, that was pierced for your transgressions. Pierced in his hands and his side. And the reason I can offer you peace is because my blood has covered all your sins and removed all your sins. So this is evidence to the disciples and then later to Peter again, because Jesus said the same thing. Look at my hands and my side. Touch them. In Ephesians 2, verse 14, it says, he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, Jew and Gentile. And this is important to understand that Jesus himself is our peace. He's the great high priest who made the sacrifice, but he's also our peace, the way that we can have a relationship with God. And again, believing in Jesus equals lasting peace. Another passage that talks about peace with God is Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. And it says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace with God is a peace that we'll have today. It's a peace we'll have tomorrow, in the days ahead. It's a peace that we can count on. And that peace, that verb, that Greek word, means to bind together what's been separated. To bind together. At the end of that passage, actually, in Romans 5, I don't have this verse, I don't think, on a slide, but it says this, Romans 5, verse 5, the end of it. It says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. You see, when Jesus says peace with you a second time, notice what he says right after that. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We've been going through a series in the book of Acts. It actually started, I looked back, the week after Easter last year. And we're in Acts chapter 18. We're going to get through it eventually. There's lots of good stuff there. And the thing is, it's so important to understand, in the beginning of Acts, he says that we are to be his witnesses through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what he's doing in these verses right here in the book of John is he's foreshadowing the giving of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And you notice there when he says, I am, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Those two words, sent and sending, are actually different Greek words. You see, Jesus was sent into this world to pay the penalty for our sin. And we are sent to proclaim the message of peace that we can have with God through what Jesus did on the cross. And so this true lasting peace, not only is peace with God, but it's having this ongoing peace of God in your life. And this is where I think Christians can really struggle. Yeah, we can say we have peace with God, and when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, he forgives our sins. And we will be with him in eternity. But the ongoing peace of God is where things get challenging. That's when we're dealing with life circumstances and we're saying, how in the world are we supposed to look at our lives in light of the difficult things that are happening to us? And what Jesus is saying here is we are being sent into the world with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about this permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we have no matter what. In John 14, 26, Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. And he said, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have sent to you. Remember, believing in Jesus equals lasting peace. But peace is not the absence of pain and suffering. It's looking to Jesus in the midst of our pain. It involves the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, what causes the lack of peace in the lives of believers? I think one of the biggest things is false expectations of what it means to follow Christ. See, these disciples and we also are being sent into a world that is plagued with sin. Jesus came to this earth where he suffered and died, but that does not remove the pain from our lives. It forgives us of our sins. It promises us eternal life. But you and I are walking through difficulties all around us. We see a world that's in trouble. When Jesus came and said, do not let your hearts be troubled, he was saying, I am with you through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're going to be able to get through whatever it is that you face. And we see evidence of a sin-cursed world all around us. We see pain, suffering, anxiety, fear. Christianity teaches that suffering exists. And it's proof of our fallen state. Some of us have seen tragedy strike in our lives. And that tragedy has come as a result of different things. Sinful behaviors, evil, disease. Some of you have experienced tremendous family conflict, stress at work. Some of you are experiencing tension right now in your marriages, a discontentment in life, a lack of purpose and direction. These are all things that we can see and things that cause a lack of peace for believers. And they could also be sinful patterns in our lives. Could also be caused by getting some wrong counsel on pain. You're going through something and somebody comes to you and tries to encourage you. I think there's an incorrect view of God's power. There was a book that was When Bad Things Happen to Good People. It was written by a rabbi, Harold Cushman. But the reality is here that each one of us is not good, that we're sinful and broken. See, that book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, his approach is to accept his love, but question God's power. He would talk about God being good, but hates to see us suffer. But he's not powerful enough to straighten out the problems of this world. But God's word teaches us otherwise. See, when you don't have peace, what does it look like? Well, we question God's goodness. We judge God according to our own standards, that he should act in a certain way. We're very susceptible to stress. We're easily irritated and getting annoyed. We're impatient. We're worrying. We're anxious. We can feel like a failure. We can look to other things in our lives to numb our pain. Some turn to alcohol. Some turn to prescription drugs. Some get involved in relationships they shouldn't be involved in. And we're all susceptible to anxiety, fear, and stress. You go to a hospital and you see all different kinds of people in that hospital. Everyone deals with anxiety. We can take it upon ourselves and we can have these incorrect filters to try to process these things. Like, what did I do wrong? Why are these bad things happening to me? We can ignore the pain and just try to think positive. But we need to take our pain to the Lord. If you are a believer in Christ, we need to take our pain to the Lord, whatever it is that we're facing. See, the resurrection and the victory over death brought a decisive new word to this idea of pain and suffering. Temporary. See, we live in a sin-cursed world, but God is still on his throne. And if we see a tragedy out there, like the shooting down in Tennessee, should alert us to make ourselves ready. Because we have a God that is in control, even when difficult things happen. Think of Job. In the Bible, the man lost all of his oxen, sheep, servants, camels, and sons and daughters in one day. Job's friends said, maybe God's trying to tell you something. No one suffers without cause. They would say things like, common sense would say that a just God would treat people fairly. Those who obey, he rewards. Those who he sins, punishes. But what God did was he dismissed this view, that it wasn't Job's sin that caused these things to happen. Job's reply to God is one of the longest single speeches in all the Bible, 4 chapters, Job 38 to 41. If you look at the context, this man is homeless, friendless. He's naked and in despair. And God wanted a simple admission of trust. Look at Job's response in Job 42, 2 and 3. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Think of a man that just lost so much, but has a different perspective. See, often we struggle with these things because we don't trust that God knows what's best for us. So let's go back to that first verse again that we read as we get ready to close this morning. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." I just want to note three things about this verse specifically. One, the doors are locked. Two, the disciples are frightened or afraid. And three, Jesus goes and stands in their midst. See, I think as we look at this idea of anxiety and dealing with having a lasting peace, this verse should bring us great comfort. The doors were locked. Jesus didn't have to knock. He didn't even have to open the door. He was there. He wasn't a ghost. He said he showed them his hands and his side. And I think the point that we need to realize with this is that Jesus can go where no one else can go. He can go where no doctor can go or no counselor. No earthly relationship can take you. He can reach you anytime and anywhere. And that's the lesson right there. The doors are locked and he's right there. He can break in and give you peace. The disciples were afraid. The doors were locked. They were afraid of the Jews. Jesus was crucified because he was a threat to Caesar. And their fear is understandable. But what is Jesus saying here in this action? That I come to my own when they are afraid. I don't wait for them to get their act together. I come to them. I come to them. I don't wait for them to have enough faith. I help them to have enough faith to overcome their fears. And finally, Jesus comes to them and stands in their midst. The door is being locked, and he came right into the middle of their meeting. He wasn't outside the room. He wasn't a distant God. He came right to where they were, stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." And I want to ask you this morning, is Jesus your peace? Is he your peace day by day by day? Not just peace with God initially, because of asking Jesus to be your Savior, but the peace of God that would walk through and help you walk through each and every circumstance that you go through. That's the kind of God that we have. Finding peace. You know, I was talking to somebody this week that had their life, has had a struggle their whole lives with abusing alcohol, wrestling with it. But in that conversation with that person, I could see the peace of God in their life, giving them victory over that area of their life, over that struggle. There's a believer that struggles with this and could find peace. She turned to God's word. She looked at the book of Luke, and she started to look for words that repeated. And the word that she read
was will. God's will. That no matter how hard life gets, that God has a plan. We might not understand the things that happen around us. And we can question things, like someone else that came into my office this week, told me about some people that he was talking to, and all those people were saying, oh, that whole Christian thing, that's all just made up. And he was there sharing the reality of what Christ has done in his life. And so no matter what it is that you're facing, no matter what it is that you're struggling with, you can give it to him and trust him that you can have peace with God. Peace with God. There's a tract in the back, Steps to Peace with God. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, please pick one of these up. Read over it. I'd love to talk to you more about it. Call the office, contact me. My cell phone number's there. Our deacons here are available as well after the service if you'd like to come up and talk about this. Trusting Jesus is the most important decision you'll make in your life. There's a verse that I have hung up in my office on the wall. It's one that I've turned to many times, specifically in the last couple years. Because I too need to trust in God's plan. That God has brought me here for a reason specifically. And Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the God of peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." So I share this message with my church family today. I know we have people that are visiting. No matter what it is, church family, that you're going through, as your pastor, I want to share that God is with you if you have peace with God. And let the peace of God help you in the midst of the pain and the suffering and the struggle that you face. Resurrection is supposed to be a time of joy, and I don't want to end the message with tears, because Jesus has conquered death, defeated it, so that we know that one day we will stand before him, praising him in heaven for what he accomplished for us that we could never accomplish on our own. So please take joy in that. After Jesus said, "Peace be with you," then he said, when they saw them, that they were full of joy. So be full of joy today. Let that joy be something in your life. I mean, we're going to go through challenges, but let the joy of Christ change you day by day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this time together this morning. We thank you for the peace we can have with God because of what Christ has done, and how believing in Jesus equals lasting peace, and that we can go through situations with the peace of God no matter what we face. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we pray that you would help us to have a right filter to look at the world that we live in. Lord, help us to have compassion like you did when you were entering Jerusalem. You wept as you looked and you entered Jerusalem, it says in the book of Mark, in the book of Luke. They only known what could bring them peace. And we thank you that you revealed it to us. Help us to respond this morning with obedience. And if there's any here that don't know you, that don't have a personal relationship with you, we pray, Father, that you would work in their hearts so that they could respond with obedience to your love and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.